thinks about it, our professional handicapper at North Coast Sports, ncssports.com. Chris, thanks for joining us, and how are you today?
I'm great, guys. Hectic day. Really excited for another weekend of college football, and we are releasing our five-star October game of the month this weekend. So really excited for this weekend. We had our totals game of the month win last week. So it's been a pretty good month for North Coast Sports.
Chris, let's start right there. And Kenny and I pick five games a week. We call it our pizza oven take five contest. And when I see these lines in the NFL, sometimes they resemble those of college football games. Can you talk about these big point spreads and what it means? And how can you really base it on either contrarian theory or going with the favorites?
You know, I'm not afraid to go with a big line. I lay big points. You know, a few years ago, we used Ohio State laying a lot of points against Maryland. Not afraid to do it. But, you know, the situation has to be right. NFL is a little harder to lay big points. You know, the league is a lot more balanced, I guess is the word.
Right.
And the NFL, I have a hard time laying, you know, those double-digit points in the NFL. But college, you know, you get some of those big lines. I don't mind laying those points in the college game. And sometimes I don't mind taking them, too, depending on the situation.
All right, so let's start with the Buckeyes, who had the bye week. They're on the road. They're supposedly getting healthier at Indiana. I'm not sure if you know about Michael Penix Jr. I thought he would not play, but I guess he wasn't officially ruled out yet unless that news came down today. What do you see in this Ohio State game on the road at Indiana on Saturday?
We like Ohio State here, and it seems like in this last three games in particular, Ohio State's really hit their stride. The defense is playing better. They held a pretty good Maryland offense to 335 yards, 17 points. The week before that, they crushed Rutgers. You know, the game against Akron, they did what they were supposed to do. But it seems like they've gotten over some of those issues, and I just don't see how Indiana's offense, which has been really pedestrian, can keep up. I will say this when it comes to Indiana, and I kind of feel bad for Tom Allen. He has taken on a brutal schedule. If you look at who they've lost to, Iowa, Cincinnati, Penn State, Michigan, this is the fifth team that they've played that was in the top 10 when they played them.
Wow.
Or eventually hit the top 10. Iowa wasn't when they played them. But the fifth team this year that they've played that ended up in the top 10, and that's a tough schedule. So you got to really feel bad for Tom Allen, but I just don't think they have the offensive guns this year. They're only averaging 340 yards per game. Jack Tuttle's a game manager to me. He's only thrown one touchdown pass in a couple games he started. I don't think Michael Penix plays this week. I think they hold him out trying to win those later games and try to get bowl eligible. It's been a brutal schedule for them, though.
Man, Big Ten is all over the place, isn't it, Chris? I mean, you watched that game, that Purdue-Iowa game last week, and then now this week Purdue's ranked, and Wisconsin is giving them points. What gives?
Well, I think there's a lot of respect for Wisconsin's defense, and when you look at how they've played, no one's put up – I'm sorry, one team has put up 300 yards on them, and that was Michigan. They're only allowing 226 yards per game. No one can run on them. They're only giving up 64 rushing yards a game. They're holding teams 176 yards per game below their average. That's number two in the country, and that's that. So the defense keeps them in games. The question always with Wisconsin is Graham Mertz, can he not turn the ball over? He has seven interceptions this year, just two touchdowns. And will this Wisconsin running game ever look like what we expected it to be? I don't trust Wisconsin's offense enough to lay the points here, but I also respect their defense enough to know that they have a chance to win. And Purdue is coming off a huge win. And I do believe I mentioned to the listeners last week, Purdue was our underdog play of the week in power sweep. That was an awesome winner, 24-7 against the number two team in the country. Their defense is awesome, too. I know the total is only 40, but we like the under here.
Talking right now with Chris Van Dyne, our professional handicapper at North Coast Sports. Check him out at northcoastsports.com for more info on this. What other games jump out at you this week, Chris, either from the standpoint of a great matchup or a surprising a point spread?
Well, the surprising point spread, I mean, if you're just talking traditionally, is Clemson and Pitt. And I know there are some Pitt fans probably listening right now. I'm sure they will agree that when the season started, if you'd have told them that Pitt would be favored against Clemson by 3 points, they would have never believed that. But here we are. Pitt is favored against Clemson. Clemson has not covered once this year. They're 0-7 against the spread.
Wow.
And I think Vegas has finally caught up to the fact that this Clemson team isn't very good. We actually like Pitt to cover here. Not a lot. It's not going to be a big play for us, but we do think that Pitt will cover this game. And I think that if you're looking at Clemson's offense and the struggles they've had, if they were going to get right, if that offense was going to turn a corner, it was going to happen out of their bye week against Syracuse. And it didn't. They only put up 314 yards and 17 points. So as much as that offense has struggled, Pitt's offense has really taken off with Kenny Pickett. Even seeing some Heisman talk about Kenny Pickett. I think that might be a little premature, but I will say that right now, Kenny Pickett looks like the best quarterback to me in the ACC, 21 touchdowns, one interception. So I think that Pitt will win this game and cover that 3 points.
Chris, when I look at the board, and you're talking about iconic matchups, one of the ones that really sticks out to me that nobody cares about anymore is Notre Dame hosting USC. How the mighty have fallen. USC now only 3-3. Notre Dame still sitting in there at number 13 at 5-1. Do they have a chance to creep back up into this thing, maybe get a playoff berth? Because there's a lot of football left.
I won't rule it out. I don't like this Notre Dame team as much as last year, and I think the big difference is the offensive line. Last year, Notre Dame averaged 211 rushing yards a game, 5 yards a carry. They only gave up 25 sacks all season long, and that includes 8 in the playoffs, 6 to Clemson, 2 to Alabama. So they only gave up 17 in regular season, in that 10-game regular season. This year, Notre Dame averages 97 rushing yards a game, 2.8 yards per carry, and they've already given up 24 sacks. So the offensive line has taken a big step back, and I just don't think that'll hold up through the course of the season. They still have tough games against North Carolina. Virginia's a scrappy team, especially when you're playing them at their home field. Stanford is a up-and-down team. They beat Oregon a couple weeks ago. And Georgia Tech, who knows with them, they almost beat Clemson, beat North Carolina, but also lost to Northern Illinois. Hard to figure them out. So, but definitely there are other games on the schedule that Notre Dame could fall, and I just don't think that offensive line is going to be able to keep it rolling. I do think they'll win here and possibly cover, but this is a game that I am staying far, far away from just because I don't trust either team.
We're getting the latest on college football. If you're looking for information, this is the guy to get it from. Chris Van Dyne, professional handicapper, ncsports.com is the website to go to. And for our listeners out there, Chris Van Dyne, give them all the different ways they can get that information that will help them make their decisions.
Yes, go to ncsports.com or call 1-800-654-3448. We've got our Power Sweep. You can get a single issue, just $10 on ncsports.com. You can also sign up for the rest of the season for $79. If you want to jump on board for a late phone package, give us a call again, 1-800-654-3448. You can also check me out at ChrisV160, and that's at ChrisV160, and check out the Power Sweep podcast.
All right, let's talk some NFL, if you don't mind, Chris, because the big one is tonight. It's happening in Cleveland, First Energy Stadium. The walking wounded, the Cleveland Red Cross will take on the Denver Broncos tonight. The Browns opened up, I think, as 6-point favorites. That's down to only 1.5 for tonight's contest, but we got word that Jarvis Landry will play. Jedrick Wills supposedly will try and start. How long he plays, we don't know. And OBJ's a game-time decision. So all of those factors going into tonight, give us some thoughts on this matchup tonight between the Broncos and the Browns in Cleveland.
Well, first, I think that Cleveland really needs this game, having started 3-3. They've lost their last two games. We were on Arizona last week, and Cleveland just didn't look good. Only 73 rushing yards, and you mentioned, the injuries. Their running backs are banged up, and that's a big loss for them, because when the running game is going for Cleveland, that's when the offense really works. When they ran for 230 against the Chargers and 215 against Chicago, I do think, obviously, Case Keenum. I heard the argument about Case Keenum. I do think that he's the guy to play right now. I think that he's got the experience. I could see him going in and having a big game in Denver, a good game. I'm not going to say a big game, but a good game. We are looking at the under, though. It is actually our Thursday night marquee. Normally I ask all the listeners to give us a call on these kind of plays, but since it's a Cleveland game, I'll throw it out there. We've got under 41 Denver versus Cleveland tonight. Denver's offense hasn't been all that spectacular either, averaging 8 yards a game less than their opponents allow on average, and then they're holding foes to 46 yards per game below their average. Cleveland's offense really banged up, so we're going to go with that under tonight.
All right, what about the Cincinnati-Baltimore game? We're keeping the focus on the AFC North, right? And Baltimore right now, one of the best teams in the NFL record-wise. Lamar Jackson playing at an MVP level, but they've also won a couple of games they could have easily lost. So how good is this Baltimore team, and what about the Bengals getting some points, what is it, 6.5, I think, on the road at Baltimore on Sunday?
Yeah, this Baltimore team is very impressive. The dominant win last week against the Chargers really shocked us. We were on the over in that game, and Baltimore did their part, 34 points. That was great. Problem was, Chargers only put up 6 points, and they absolutely shut Justin Herbert down, held him to 182 passing yards, held the Chargers to 26 rushing yards, and that was by far a season low for the Chargers. Held the Chargers 203 yards below their average. Wow. They also held Denver a couple weeks ago, 137 yards below their average. So it seems like the Ravens' defense, they've held three of their last four opponents to less than 300 yards. Seems like they're really hitting their stride. I do think Cincinnati, you know, that they're an improving football team. Joe Burrow's done a solid job, 14 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. But right now, with the way the Ravens are playing, we can't go against them. You know, I'm not going to read too much into Cincinnati's win last week. It was against Detroit, and I just think that Detroit team is a mess. A couple weeks ago, they did put up a good fight against Green Bay, but their prior win against Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, you know, the Steelers, just not the same this year. So I'm not going to give them too much credit for their wins, but I have been very impressed with Baltimore, and we like Baltimore here. Our power sweep line is 10, and I think that, 10-3 ATS run for Baltimore says you got to use the Ravens here.
Chris, you talk about these teams that are a mess versus teams that are underachieving. I'm not going to categorize the Browns in that category right now as underachieving because of all the injuries. But if there's an underachieving team in the AFC, it might be the Miami Dolphins. And the rumors we were hearing earlier in the week is they may be trying to make a deal for Deshaun Watson. Any truth at all to that? Have you heard anything about the Dolphins trying to trade with the Houston Texans for Deshaun Watson?
I'm hearing the same rumors you guys are. I think there is some truth to it. I mean, obviously, they need to upgrade the quarterback position. I don't think they're very happy with Tua. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before they have to make a move. And I think that Deshaun Watson would make a lot of sense. Now, if you can get him on the field. You know, there's a lot of questions there. But if he's playing, then you have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and we'll be interesting to see how that falls out, because that would automatically upgrade the offense. And, you know, you do have some receivers like Jaylen Waddle, who, if you got him a quality quarterback, he might be a really dangerous guy in the slot.
Chris, we always appreciate the time and the insight. Great information. Give that website phone number one more time if people want more info.
Sure, ncsports.com. Also, 1-800-654-3448. And we've got the Power Suite podcast. Actually, just posted it about an hour ago. We've got Pamela Maldonado joining us from Yahoo Sports. So definitely check that out as well.